This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Animal welfare advocates say Vermont has made progress when it comes to handling cases of animal cruelty, but they say there is still a lack of clarity when deciding who's responsible for investigations and who pays the costs associated with caring for the animals. And there's still significant risk, because taking in animals while cases of neglect and abuse work their way through the courts can expose shelters to liability if the animals get hurt or die under the care of the people who rescued them.
These are two of the dogs from the case. Hello, guys. Yeah, you can come out and play. The little one is Little Man, and the big one is Bear. Come on out, dudes.
At Homeward Bound, Addison County's Humane Society, Executive Director Jessica Daniel is letting two fluffy little dogs out of their pen.
To be fair, they're both little. What kind of dogs are these?
They're Pomeranians. And it was interesting. In the case, there were five Pomeranians, there was a Westie and her puppies, and there was a mini Schnauzer. So they were all little dogs.
The dogs are two of 28 animals seized from a house in Ferrisburg in October by Vermont State Police. Homeward Bound assisted and took in a menagerie of animals.
Dogs, cats, multiple birds, parrots of different varieties, small animals, guinea pigs, hamsters, ferrets, and even a bearded dragon.
Most of those animals are in foster homes now. While the dogs overall seem healthy, their brown teeth are sure signs of neglect.
If you can smell his breath or see his teeth,
yeah. You know there's a problem there.
As the court case against the owner proceeds, the animals are in a sort of legal limbo because animals in Vermont are considered personal property. They're also evidence in the court cases. In 2014, Vermont passed a civil forfeiture law that gives shelters a legal path to gain custody of animals like these and find homes for them without affecting the outcome of the court cases. The Addison County State's attorney has asked for civil forfeiture of the 28 animals in this case. And Danielle, who's also president of the Vermont Humane Federation, says that's a crucial request for the well-being of these animals.
Four of the dogs that were taken were puppies that were between 3 and 4 weeks old. So they're now 13 weeks old, and they are in foster care homes, and they're getting care and socialization. But they're also in a really strange limbo, and if this case were to drag out, you know, their entire puppyhoods could be spent in an institution, essentially.
And because the animals are considered personal property, that shelter liability problem comes into play. Windham County Humane Society Executive Director Annie Guyon says prior to civil forfeiture, cases were even more risky.
In 2005, the shelter seized 40 animals from this owner in terrible condition. She was deemed incompetent to stand trial. The case was thrown out, and the shelter held those animals for a year, and the estimated cost was $65,000, never mind the loss of income from adoption fees, and it pretty near closed our doors for good.
The Franklin County Humane Society cited expenses of an animal cruelty case as part of the financial troubles that caused them to temporarily shut their doors. The state convened an animal cruelty task force, and Guyon says in a more recent case, the shelter was able to gain custody of six dogs and find homes for them, but the process still took 6 months. And when it comes to cases of livestock or other large animals, care can be even more expensive. Guyon says the Lucy McKenzie Humane Society in West Windsor spent about $100,000 caring for horses involved in a cruelty case. And then there was the case involving alleged animal neglect at Santa's Land in Putney. Guyon says in that instance, the Sheriff's Department asked for the Humane Society's help.
They called me and said, hey, can you take these animals? And I was kind of flabbergasted. I mean, they had reindeer, which are exotic and require permits to move and even to have. They had a llama and an emu, and on it went. So I said, I do not have the means to do this and the wherewithal and the financial backing.
Guyon said in that case, the sheriff's department was persistent and found foster care for the animals. But if the case had happened in another town, the response might have been different. Animal cruelty complaints are investigated by multiple agencies: animal control officers, law enforcement, the Agency of Agriculture, and the Vermont Humane Federation. As a result, Guyon says calls about animal welfare might be answered differently depending on the town and who gets the call.
It varies town to town. Towns are supposed to have an animal control officer. It's rarely paid. It's not a trained position usually. Sometimes they don't even get a leash and a catch pole.
Some animal control officers are elected, some are appointed, and some are hired. In some communities, it might just be the person at town meeting who at the end of the meeting says, okay, I'll do it. And they may not have training. They may not have any experience in assessing animal welfare.
South Burlington Police Chief Trevor Whipple trains law enforcement officers and civilian humane officers at the Vermont Police Academy. He says calls about animal cruelty are infrequent, and officers might not have the expertise to know what constitutes proper care for each species. But he trains them to find experts.
What I do want them to do is to know where to go. So if they get a complaint about pigs that aren't being properly cared for, that they have a list or a go-to person to say, hey, I know that either a veterinarian or a civilian humane agent is an expert in the area of raising pigs. I can call them and either get advice for them or ask them to come join me in this investigation.
Whipple says most police agencies have found at least one officer to take the training voluntarily, but more are needed. He says most officers recognize that crimes against animals are worth pursuing, even if they're difficult to investigate.
People who are abusing animals have a dark side to them, and it's not just animals that they're abusing. So I think, identifying those types of folks can also lead us to other types of criminal behavior, or even if they don't lead us there, by engaging with them and addressing their inappropriate treatment of animals, we just may be derailing them from some future harm to human beings.
And he says while the task force is making great strides, he agrees more legal clarity is needed.
I do believe it would behoove us if we could have a point entity, not necessarily a person, but a position, because now it's we kind of throw the balls in the air and figure out who catches it or who does it drop closest to as to is it going to be the local humane agent? Is it going to be the law enforcement officer entrusted with investigating crimes in that area? There's no definitive point.
Whipple points to the state of Maine, which has an animal welfare division with a dedicated funding source as a model for Vermont to follow. Back at Homeward Bound, Jessica Danyau agrees. She says the role of shelters is to support investigations, not to lead them. And she says there needs to be a dedicated funding source, perhaps even a special pet license plate program to raise money. She said state attorney's offices can also be part of the solution.
What I'd really like to see is that it is standard procedure for animal cruelty cases that attorneys need to file for civil, or the prosecutors need to file for civil forfeiture. Because the cost involved caring for all of these animals, providing basic care and absorbing them on top of our shelter is high. To date for us, it's been about $7,000.
Earlier this week, charges were dropped against one of the defendants in the Ferrisburg case, and the other two defendants are still fighting civil forfeiture. So for now, the animals will stay in foster care and in the shelters until their fate can be resolved by the courts. For VPR News, I'm Mitch Wertlieb.